Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're continuing our study in the Gospel according to Luke. And we've got to chapter 2, about verse 21. They had just the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They understood that the Messiah was born. And I'm sure that all of Israel was abuzz with prophecy, of course, not as it is today, where most people in America do not believe anything having to do with prophecy. Many, though, it's always an exciting topic at the end of the world and all that, but most in the world just shrug it off as so much mythical nonsense, because that's what they've been taught to believe about the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. But not so in Israel. Israel was a nation. They were the nation, the people of God in the flesh. Our Heavenly Father had created and separated a nation unto himself, and they were called the Yahu-da, or Yahudi, which they were called by his name. So they were called the people of God. So that, and their nationality was based on their relationship with the Creator and with the oracles, or the Word of God, which we call the Old Testament. And they were looking forward to, many were counting down the weeks of Daniel, understanding those things, and seeing everything that Daniel prophesied fulfilled so completely, so accurately, that most of them, anyone who was paying any attention at all to prophecy, knew that they were in the 69th week, and the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy was about to begin. And that's where we are. We're at the very beginning. Well, we're still before the beginning of the 70th week, because that really doesn't begin until his 7-year ministry period, when he steps onto the scene. We're at the birth of the Messiah. So we're a few weeks of years before the 70th week begins. But for, you know, many are going, it's just like all the futurists believing in the fantasy. Has the Antichrist been born yet? And, you know, is he on the scene? And what nation? You know, all that nonsense is going on now. Well, it wasn't nonsense then. There were people speculating as to the birth of not the Antichrist, for all of those futurists who misunderstand the Scripture, that believe that there's going to be this one Antichrist man. Not so in the time of the Messiah. They were counting down, because it says in the Scriptures, 70 years unto Messiah the Prince. And of course that would refer to a full grown man, but I'm sure they probably still had to discern that. Was he going to be born in the 70th week? Was it 70 weeks until the Messiah was born? Or till he comes on the scene? There's probably some disputes and people trying to understand exactly how this was going to come forth. And there were probably those that speculated, well, the Messiah would be a man, so he has to be born before that. So you can kind of get a feel for what was going on in circles where people were looking into the prophecies and trying to understand and looking for the coming of the Messiah in the 70th week from Daniel, but they knew they were getting close. So anyway, we have here the birth of Messiah as reported by Luke, and he is born in a manger or in a stable. And when the days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, he was 8 days old. It says his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And of course, on the 8th day, they brought him to the temple to be circumcised, and they would not utter the name Jesus or Jesus or anything like it in the temple. If they uttered any name like that in the temple when they brought this child to be circumcised, that would have been an abomination to bring the name of pagan deity into the temple of God and dedicate their child, the firstborn, of course, had to be dedicated to Yahuwah, to the Creator, because of the Passover, and they had to declare the name of the child, and they would have said, as the angel told them, in the Hebrew, they would have said, Yahushua is his name, and the name meaning our Creator by name is our salvation. That's what the name Yahushua means. It means our Creator is our salvation, and he had the name. Yahushua is the name above all names, and the reason that it is the name above all names, because it declares the name of our Creator, saying that he is our salvation. And of course, we know that the Messiah went on to say something like, before Abraham was, I am, declaring his deity. So the name above all names, when attached to this man, certainly was the name above all names, because he was our Creator, and he was our Creator in a body that was he prepared for himself. So when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Yahushua, which means our Creator by name is our salvation, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And so I'm correcting there the authorized King James Version, which was a correction of the Greek transliteration of his name, meaning that they, in the 1611 version, they just brought forth the Greek rather than translate it. And it said Jesus, which would be wrong too. They would have been run out of the temple, believe me. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him unto Yahuwah, unto the Lord. It is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And so we have here a man waiting for the consolation of Israel. What's he waiting for? He's counting down the weeks. He knows the Messiah is going to come. And he's counting, he knows the 70th week is here. Or it's really close. I keep saying it's here, but because the Messiah is present on the scene anyway, but the 70th week, he knows it's coming. It's at hand. It's close. And he says, and the Holy Ghost here, it says, is recorded in chapter 2, verse 25, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Messiah. And it's, of course, it says in the authorized version, the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Yahushua, to do for him after the custom of the law, and that is to dedicate him as the firstborn, then he took him up in his arms. And bless God, could you imagine? Here's the scene. The parents are bringing the child into the temple to dedicate him. And this man runs up, and he takes him in his arms. He takes the child, and he said, blessed. He blessed God, and he said, Yahuwah, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles. That's right. A light to lighten the nations. And the word there is ethnos, translated as nations. And to glorify thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption of Israel. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So we see if we have a little insight into how this child grew up. Grew up quietly in Nazareth as a Hebrew child. They went to Jerusalem to the feast every year for the Passover. And it says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Now they have something they call the lost years of Jesus. And someone wrote of so the Essenes or whatever, wrote of the lost years of Jesus. And someone wrote this fiction about the childhood of Jesus. And of course, that's exactly what it is. It's a fiction. And I think someone has even, they've written documentaries and so forth of some of these fictionalized events of the childhood of Jesus or Yeshua, the Messiah, and the things that he did. And of course, these people don't really believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was born of a virgin, but they write of these, they have these false gospels out there. And one of them, of course, a fictional account of the childhood, but we have an account here. Yeshua, the Messiah, grew up quietly as a Hebrew boy in the town of Nazareth, and he did what the Hebrew people did. He lived in his family, with his family. Of course, I'm certainly he was an exceptional child, being that he never sinned. Wow, that's you have a child without fault, because I know from my own experience that children are born and they grow up, and believe me, they all have their faults. And it doesn't take us long, but here was a child that had no fault. But his family went to Jerusalem every year. So we get that insight into their life. These were righteous people who kept the law, and they lived as perfect a life as anyone could live. So we have, he was 12 years old. They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child, Yeshua, Jesus, as it's recorded here, tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposing him to have been in the company. And so they have a company here. The family traveled together because the family lived together in those days. You had your extended family. So it wouldn't be uncommon as they traveled to Jerusalem, as we see it, it was not uncommon for the children to be together and playing and traveling together with their extended family. So they didn't notice that he had not come and from Jerusalem and left with him. This was a child they did not worry about too much. Obviously, if they could leave Jerusalem, they didn't, that Yeshua, he's always getting in trouble and always being left behind. No, they were not even concerned with it. That's what I get from this. So we get a little more insight into the childhood of a child that the parents were not too concerned about. They did not worry about him getting lost or getting into trouble or being where he was not supposed to be. So much so that, they were supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. So they went the day's journey, and of course, when nighttime comes, they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days. So one day out, one day back, and then the next day, because they traveled all that day. And I'm supposing that, as a custom is, when you have a long journey, that you leave early in the morning because you want to travel as much as you can during the day. So they went back, and probably it was nighttime. They had to go back the next morning, travel a day back, and then it was nighttime when they got there again. So on the third day, they found him. And it says, when they found him not, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. It came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors. And of course, doctors, didaskeos, instructors, or the teachers in the temple. And so the word doctors there, you have to probably go back a several hundred years where doctors has a more broad meaning than it has today. Both hearing them and asking them questions. So it wasn't like they immediately were in Jerusalem and looking for him for 3 days in Jerusalem. No, they traveled a whole day. That's one day. They could not travel till the next day, so they traveled the next day back, and because they had to get some rest, and they found him on the third day. So when they saw them, they were amazed. His mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. I jumped a verse there. And all that heard them were astonished at his understanding and answers. And he said to them, in verse 49 of chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? So here you have a boy that he understands. It seems to be he understands who he is. And I'm sure that he has been searching the scriptures so much so that they're amazed. Everyone listening to this 12-year-old boy in the temple are amazed. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. So still he was subject to his parents. And I guess they should have looked for him before they left, perhaps. And it says here, But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Yahshua, Jesus, increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and before I go ahead, before I move on further, if you want a little more clues as to the first 12 years of Yahshua, Jesus, the Messiah, you need to read all of the Gospels. We get a little bit from each. We know that they traveled to Egypt when Yahshua, Jesus, was a couple of years old because of the danger that came on the land there. So we know that he spent a few years in Egypt. And when Herod, the one that sought him, was dead, they returned back to their home, Nazareth. So, see, get a little insight into the so-called lost years or not lost. They play on those words and the absence of details in his life from those years. And the reason that there is an absence of details is because this is not the focus. We're to focus on when he comes suddenly to the temple, when he comes suddenly and preaches and starts to come suddenly onto the scene with his message, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. There are so many things, you know, it's like Yahshua, like it was told, that if everything had been recorded of the life of Yahshua, the Messiah, if everything had been recorded throughout the scripture, Genesis could have filled the whole book of the 66 of the Bible, if we had every single detail of everything. But a lot is left there, not for the imagination, but it is left there for us to discern. You know, it's like where, you know, all of the ignorant, stupid atheists like to say, where did Cain get his wife? Supposing that the only children were born were those that the scripture focuses on. No, the scripture focuses on those few that it focuses on because, one, it's emphasizing something, or it's focusing on the lineage of the Messiah. We don't care about the other families that lead nowhere, you know, and all the other lineages. So we could have filled, you know, 10 volumes of scripture with all those details. Of course, Adam and Eve had other sons and daughters, and time passed, and they had great-great-grandchildren and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. No, Seth was not the third-born child of these parents. They could have had hundreds of children at that time. The scripture does not exclude it. So all of the details as now are not necessary for understanding, not necessary for what our Heavenly Father wants to reveal to us. We're to have a little bit of common sense. And for all the fault finders, those that are looking for where did Cain get his wife and all that stuff, well, you know, that just shows how stupid they are and how little common sense they have. And of course, they bring up these questions in the minds of believers and get them to focus on the lack of information as if that's all the information that they're supposed to glean from the scripture. No, we're not looking. There are no lost years. The scripture is giving us what it wants us to have. And if we have a little common sense, we can fill in the blanks. Yes, Yahshua, the Messiah, grew up as a Hebrew child. His family was a faithful family. They went to Jerusalem. Their custom was to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. These things we see, we can fill in the blanks with if we have questions about those things. Well, here we are going into a break. We'll be back in a few minutes.